लाइट कैमरा
रोलिंग
एक्शन।
वेलकम टू माय पॉडकास्ट लेट्स टॉक अबाउट वर्टिकल्स, अ प्लेस वेयर सीक्रेट्स आर स्पिल्ड, स्टोरीज अनफोल्ड एंड द मिस्टीरियस वर्ल्ड ऑफ वर्टिकल्स इज रिवील्ड इन ऑल इट्स ग्लोरी। Behind the scenes? Oh yes. Exclusive insights? Absolutely. Eccentric characters? You bet. So, pull up a chair, pour yourself something suspiciously strong, and prepare for a conversation you didn't know you needed. So, welcome to the podcast Let's Talk About Verticals. And now, let's talk. Hello and welcome to my podcast, Let's Talk About Verticals. Finally, I have another actress. I got a little bit overwhelmed from actors lately, so I'm very happy to have her. And I say hello, welcome to my podcast, Shanna Sino. Nice to have you.
Hi, happy to be here.
I saw your year ended really well last year. A bit stressful, but well.
Mm-hmm. I was really busy the last like 2 months. I was bouncing on, I think I did 5 different sets that I was on. And I feel so wonderful to be able to work. And everyone was so amazing. And it was nice and busy. And then I got to spend my last like few weeks at home with my husband. So I couldn't ask for anything better, really.
So how many verticals did you rep last year? You know that?
I think I just tallied it up. And I think I did like 12, about.
So one per month, roundabout?
Yeah, about 13. It was 13 because I forgot one of them. But yeah, I had 13.
And how many different locations you shot? You were lately in Lithuania. Where else did you shoot last year?
I shot in Kansas City, Missouri, Los Angeles, Vancouver. I shot in 2 different cities in China. Xiamen in Hangzhou, and then in Lithuania, in Vilnius. So 6.
Wow. And when did you start doing vertical stuff? Last year or earlier?
July 2024.
Okay. And how did you get into? Other question. When you did your first one, did you know what verticals were at that point?
Yes. I was a senior in college, and I kept getting ads for one of Mariah Moss's really like first viral ones in the States. I don't remember the name of it, but it was her stepbrother, who was also her professor, who was also a werewolf.
And I was like, you got the full package directly in this ad?
Yes. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is crazy, but I couldn't stop watching it. And then I was in school for musical theater, so like live, like stage acting. And then I was like, oh, but I want to do film, and I was about to graduate. So I knew that my hometown, Kansas City, Missouri, had like a Facebook page for acting, like where auditions were posted. So I went on there, and I ended up seeing some werewolf thing, and I was like, I know these. I know what these are. I didn't know that they were
that's
called
the crazy
verticals.
Stuff I saw.
Like, that's what I saw. So I actually, technically, that was in May of 2024. I did a day player on that. And then that same company was like, we do more of these. Would you want to audition for a lead? And I was like, oh, yeah, I'd love to audition. That sounds great. They were like, yeah, the platform liked you. Because sometimes the platforms will like give live feedback as we're shooting and stuff. And so that's what they had told them on set. And I didn't think anything would come of it. But then in July, I auditioned for, it was called A Tale of Blood and Roses at the time. It ended up being called Mr. Vampire Wants Me Every Day.
But
Casey
that
Esser.
One was such a great one. Oh, holy shit.
It was so good. It was so fun.
I avoided all this vampire. I started watching verticals at the end of 2023. And I first avoided all this vampire and werewolf stuff because it was too fancy for me. I don't know why, but I was so.
I know what you mean. So I liked That one I think worked because we had a lot of practical effects. It wasn't as much of like the magic. Like we had a little bit, but it was really like we did the teeth and the blood and our AD on that set, Hunter, is a big like horror movie guy, so he was super into like doing all the stuff for real. But yeah, I actually on it was on I got the call that I got the part on the 4th of July. So they're like, sorry to call you on a holiday, but would you like this part? And yeah, and then ever since it's just I went like auditioning for a while after that for stuff in LA because I was like, if they flew Casey Esser out here, maybe they'll bring me to LA. And then it's just kind of like rolled on from there. It's been so amazing. But yeah, my first one, like that's how I got my first vertical.
When I spoke with Casey Esser, I told him, sorry for that, but for me, you're doing better as a vampire than a werewolf one. And you know what his answer was? Yeah, because I'm pale. I am a vampire. And the costumes in this vertical were so great. I love the style of this vampire stuff, but lately I have the feelings that there were less vampires filmed.
Yeah, they go through like phases of what's really popular, like what's getting the audience's attention. And right now, at least for me, I know like the young adult movies, like the high school college age
Yeah.
stuff has been very popular. And if you can
The
play that.
sportive ones, the cooking ones, and now at the moment there are so many ballet ones.
I want to do a ballet one so bad. I did ballet for like 12 years. And
Oh.
so I would, because I think it would, I would love to do like the technique justice if I can. I'd have to get back in some classes, I think, before shooting.
Yeah, but I think it's
But
like riding a bicycle. You never forgot everything. You have to
yeah,
warm it
I
up
just have to get
again.
the muscles back into it.
Yeah.
But
No,
yeah.
but lately, I think in the last 4 or 5 weeks, there were six ballet ones
I
dropping.
remember when they were all shooting, it was a lot, everyone was excited because I think a lot of the female like leads that you know have a lot of dance experience. A lot of us have a lot of experience in like live performance like that.
Yeah, singing. A lot of you were singing. A lot of you were. So, in my opinion, just my opinion, we are totally ready for a musical vertical. With all the singers, with all the dancers, with all. It's all there. I don't know why they didn't shot a musical yet.
I think big because a bunch of us like we'll talk about it on set. Like, where's the vertusical is what we jokingly my husband and I call it. But
Vertusical.
vertusical. But I think it's just finding someone to compose, I think, is the big issue. Because it's such a feat to, I mean, I could never do it. I could never write music. That's
Yeah, and
crazy
I
to me.
think it's a more budget needed because of all the music rights and stuff like that. But on the other side, you can publish also a soundtrack for that
Well,
vertical.
yeah, and then people will probably listen to it on Spotify, and there's different ways. That would, yeah, I never thought about that. Huh. That would be a nice
I
little,
thought a
like.
lot about verticals in musical style, and I spoke to Dan Löwenstein, you know, the director from UK. He did also some verticals in the US. He's a very popular director for
Okay.
vertical stuff, and he told me that his wife is a casting director and she knows a lot of music stuff. And he and his wife are thinking about producing a musical. And I said, oh yes, the audience is so damn ready for that, really. You know, I think it's a musical would be so full of lightness, you know, not the typical vertical trope sheet. It's more good moody where you can sing along, like Grease, you know, something like Grease. That's a
Yes.
rom-com in it, you have a lovey-dovey,
Super
whatever.
fun. I think rom-coms are so perfect for the vertical space too. They're my favorite to do. I love
Yeah.
like a nice light-hearted rom-com. And like of course it's going to have some of the drama because it's a vertical.
Yeah, the drama is needed, but the thing is, you know, I think the rom-com dramas or verticals should really entertain, and lately
There was so much storylines only full of drama, really so full of drama and not really good entertaining anymore. So I hope
I've
for a
been fortunate to
change.
do a couple that have a lot of lighthearted moments lately as well. I've done some of the
That's
dramas because
good.
there's a huge audience for, like, I think just the K-drama style,
Ah.
but I've been able to do both. And those, I've got some coming out soon that I think have both elements
I think
pretty
this
present.
key drama style is, you know, every time there hops new audience in this space, and they are fine with the, let's say, classic drama stuff. But the audience, like I am watching now in the third year in a row, the vertical stuff. These classic storylines are so often used and so worn out that it's not really entertaining anymore. So for me, for example, I am really waiting for this first pirate vertical they shot lately. I'm so
I just worked with Nick, who is
Yeah,
Nick
I speak to
Westway.
him later this week. Yeah.
And he is, I was actually, they were like about to finish shooting it. I think too, because there's so many people writing pirate verticals, I think we're gonna get a wave of them. And I think that sounds fun. Because I think you can do so much within the pirate genre and world, and they could all exist within the same universe. Maybe like different captains end up
Yeah.
crossing each. Like you could do so much. I want to be in a pirate vertical very badly as well. I'd love to play a mermaid. I think that
Yeah.
would be fun.
Oh yeah. That would be also needed. There was only one mermaid one with Kyra and Casey. That was
I
the
think it
only
didn't do just
mermaid
as
one.
well as the platform hoped, so then they didn't make more. But I think just if they tried different things, have you seen it's called Splash with Tom Hanks?
Yeah, yeah.
That would, I think, would be a good mermaid vertical
Yeah. Yeah,
because
you're
it's
right.
very rom-commy. I think
Yeah,
the
that
ends of
sounds.
episodes can be like jokes. I don't know. I love a rom-com. The third one I ever did, Escaping the Bridezilla with Robert
Ah, that
Watkins.
was so good.
That one was a true rom-com, and it was so funny and so fun to shoot. And we were able to like play with the beats and the comedic timing. And I felt like Reese Witherspoon for some reason. Like that was kind of how I felt playing that
Had
character.
to laugh so hard, always wearing the helmet.
It got to a point where Rob was like asking our director Mauricio, and he's like, "Can I take it off?" And Mauricio was like, "No, it's funny if you sleep in it. It's funny if you leave it on." And he was like, "Okay." And it was. Everyone remembers the heart attack.
I saw this one and I said, really? Keeping the helmet? Okay, why not?
I think
Yeah,
it
but you know,
works.
this type of storylines were so rare. There, I spoke with Molly Anderson, for example, and she told me that she shot, it's now a few months ago, she got a script and was booked for a shooting really rom-commy, and on set the client came and said, ah, we need more drama. And in the end, 80% of this rom-commy lightness was declined.
I've been on one that I did. It still was pretty rom-commy, but some of the jokes got cut in the final like editing because I watched it, and some of like my favorite moments, because I think they like they it was just like they wanted it to feel more dramatic at certain times. Like it still felt like a rom-com, but then also they like it wasn't as heavily like hit, I think, as in the
You know,
original
my
script.
life, my real life is dramatic enough. I need a bit more. Oh, I would love to see comedy with
I like it like a nice
Adam
mix.
Chisnell in it, and like a
Yes.
parody of Making Verticals or whatever. You know?
Something like satirical, almost like.
Yes. Yes. You know,
We'll get to
shooting a
writing.
parody about making a vertical. You know what I mean? You're having a parody, and then someone is saying, I want to slap you now. Why you want to slap me now? I don't know. I have to. And then this whole banquet shitty scene, and then or an auction, you see this 20 billion for this jewelry, and then someone is saying, I saw that on Amazon last week, or stuff like that. making fun out of it.
I want to do one so badly where it's Casey Esser, but it's one of his characters wakes up and he's shooting a vertical. So, like, let's say it's Lucas from Mr. Vampire, and he wakes up on the set of Mr. Vampire, and they're like, "Okay, she's gonna slap you now." And I just like wave my hand in front of his face, and he's like confused.
That's
I think
good.
that would be hilarious.
I'm sure Casey would be in for that.
I think he would too. Or Casey Esser wakes up in a vertical that he's shooting, that he's like, this is fake, but it's not, it's actually there. And someone like hits him and he's like, you really hit me. And it's like
Yes.
that.
Oh, that's a great idea, Ma. Yeah, something like that, you know? We saw so many dramatic vertical stuff, and I'm sure there would be total a hit because everyone thinks, you know, it's also the same one when you see hospital scenes where they are shocking on the shirt, on the top. Or when you are reaping out, I have to go home. Or when there is a small cut and everyone's saying, I'll take you to the hospital. You know? That's so.
I think we can leave hospital scenes behind in 2025. I
Also, the
think we go.
banquet scenes. Oh,
I haven't
bitch.
shot one in a while. Knock on wood, but it's been a while since I've had a banquet scene. So I think those might be getting pushed aside,
Hopefully,
hopefully.
because the monthly recap lately of December, one of the girls was saying, I'm so tired of this banquet shit. And we are always thinking about you as an actress standing there in high heels for 60 episode at exactly the same point without
It's
any
tough.
moving.
They can be really fun. They can be very tough. And it just depends on what the content is of the scene. But yeah, I will say with the because I did a high school one, and the banquet scene of that was like the classroom.
Okay.
But it wasn't as long. It's like they're shifting other scenes to be like those big group scenes, and now we're seeing, I think, more like weddings and auctions and
Yeah.
classrooms, and they're trying to think, I think, break it up instead of
Yeah.
having one 8 page long, 16 episode long banquet.
Hey, 16 is less. I saw just a so-called Christmas vertical. It wasn't even a Christmas vertical. There was only a title in the Christmas vertical of one of them was wearing a Christmas sweater. That was the Christmas stuff in it.
Oh.
That was a banquet scene straight from episode 8 till episode 49. The whole vertical was only a banquet scene and the classic question, is it really him or is he a fraud? That was the whole vertical stuff.
That trope is tough. Especially like when you have several scenes that are the exact same fight, but just phrased slightly different. It's hard to remember your lines. Because you're rephrasing the same line. It's a fun challenge to be able to make them different, I think.
Yeah.
But I would love to see, because it's different. You can have that fight, and then it can also be different fights, I think, on top of that, instead of like the same, is he lying or is he a billionaire six
Come
times?
on. I'm always asking myself, why doesn't he show his ID? And the question could be solved in 2 minutes.
Or like, why doesn't she just believe? Like, why is she being? I don't think anyone is that ignorant. I like of the truth. I feel like after you've been told the truth six times, you'd be like, oh, okay,
And
yeah.
then someone is really, yeah, really? I'm not sure. Maybe, you know, all the people in this banquet scene, first they are all on her side, and then they are all on his side, and then
Oh.
really? You know, that would be great on the pirate one. There is no banquet scene possible on a ship, hopefully.
Yeah, you're just on the ship.
Yeah. There's not enough
Well,
space to do a banquet scene,
and
hopefully.
you can do like big group scenes that aren't banquets. There's so
Fighting
many events
scenes
in
between
life
two
that,
ships?
yeah, there's so many events in life that aren't a banquet.
Yes. Yeah, true.
I think everyone's been pretty open about how banquet scenes I think have become a little outdated in the vertical space,
So you
despite their
are,
short-lived life currently.
yeah. So you are an actress. When I recorded with Casey, I asked Casey how many verticals he did and how many verticals he proposed. His answer was 51 verticals, 49 he proposed, and in these two ones he didn't propose, the audience got upset why he didn't propose. So you are a female one. How often did you get a propose in your verticals?
I don't have as many that like the
No?
ratio of mine is smaller, but I got proposed to in Mr. Vampire. I didn't get proposed to in Fight for Love, but we are married at the end of it. So does that count? Like
Yeah,
it cuts to the future.
you skipped the proposal. It's fine.
Yeah. And then I got proposed to, so two, three, four, five. Like, oh no,
Nearly all of
this
them,
is
only
harder.
two.
Six. So probably like 9 or 10 out of
So
the
half of
16
the
leads I've done, I've gotten proposed to.
that's not much. What went wrong?
Well, I played a high schooler and one, they don't like me. They don't want to marry me. And then a lot of them were like already married and I'm getting divorced. So that's part of it. I think. Oh no,
And
wait. And then I got proposed to, yeah, because that was a divorce one. And then I got proposed to in
So you
to
were
like to
married
like
or
maybe
you
12, maybe
got
12.
married? So you were married or you got married?
I
Something
either
like
was
that.
married or I got married for
And
all but I think one vertical.
and how many kids you technically have?
Three. I only have
Only
three.
three. Oh, that's less.
I think I look pretty young, so I
Oh,
don't get
that
cast as a
doesn't matter
mom.
because Kaylin Peluso, when I spoke with her, 17 verticals, 15 she got pregnant, 22 children. And you cannot tell me that she doesn't look young.
To be
Sorry.
fair, I have been pregnant. Oh, wait, four kids, and then I've been pregnant in like, so maybe like 10 total.
Ah,
If we're counting all the pregnancies,
there we go.
it's more.
That's so silly. No, you know, it's always the same. The women got proposed and pregnant, and the male one did proposals and had towel drops. That's a classic one.
I only have had one towel drop, like where the guy dropped the towel. It's only happened to me one time. I know, isn't that crazy? And I've only fallen in a pool one time.
That's shocking.
I
That did you
know.
get kidnapped?
Maybe, I've been kidnapped in every vertical at least twice.
Okay, so the kidnapping is more your stuff.
Yeah, I get rescued a lot.
Because when I spoke with Abigail Stanton, she said, I kidnapped in every vertical, mostly child. Okay, so you're the kidnapping queen of the verticals? Yeah, I would say that. Okay.
Yeah. No, I genuinely think I've been kidnapped, either kidnapped or attacked at least twice in every vertical I have ever done.
That's so silly.
Actually, I don't think I got kidnapped in Escaping the Bridezilla. It's the only one that I haven't been kidnapped in.
But to be honest, I never saw a storyline like this one.
Me neither. I wish I would love to do another one similarly,
That
like
wasn't
to
Viglu,
that.
yeah, right? Viglu
Yes,
one.
Viglu does a lot of different storylines, I've
Yeah.
noticed.
You know, as I
Also,
said
Drama Pops,
before,
because
Drama Pops have so many fresh and new storylines.
I watched
Really?
Yes Chef, because before I worked with
Out
them,
with Aaron.
yeah, I was, Aaron was like, here, you can watch this one to like get an example of work that they do. And I really liked Yes Chef. It was really different and unique.
Did you watch on Drama Pops with Felix Mirbet, The Summer I Got Mad? This one is
No.
really great. You have that. You have to watch that on. And Drama Pops was, from our review audience, the app of the month for the Christmas verticals. They dropped two Christmas verticals last year, where really hit the Christmas story. Not because only a Christmas tree was standing somewhere in the picture. No, there were two Christmas stories. One was with Mariah Moss and Leif Oftedal, and the other one was with Autumn Noel and what was his name? I don't know. Shit. But these were the only two really Christmassy stories, and both on Drama Pops.
Wow.
And as I said, if you ever have the chance also to
Oh, the
go to
one with Autumn was
Istanbul.
the one with the, she had the fake nose and it breaks
Yeah,
and then she does the
exactly.
nose job. That one was filmed by Easy House. I know, because they were very excited. I was, they were
I w
very
it was
excited
also
about it.
filmed in Lithuania, right?
Lithuania.
Yeah. And you can tell me whatever, drama pops rocks the vertical world. Really, they are not dropping so many shows, like for example, Drama Box, Real Short, whatever. But the quality, also in the post-production, every Drama Pops vertical is so well produced in all things. Sound, post-production, costume, storyline. They have always kind of new, freshy storylines. And the same is in the storylines with Viglu and Candy Jar.
I really like Candy Jar. I would love to work with them. Some of my verticals have been sold to them. So now like I'm on Candy Jar, which I think is super cool.
But not produced with Candy Jar.
But not produced with Candy Jar. So I would really love to be able to work with them someday, because I think their stuff is done very beautifully.
Yeah, Candy Jar is actually the only app with a lot of shows more than one part. Part one, part two, part three, sometimes part four. They
They
have
have
four.
multiple parts. That makes sense, because some of their shows are pretty short. And I know the fans are like, this was so short. And then the next part will come out. That makes sense. I kind of
There
like
was
that. It also gives the actors jobs longer, which is
yeah,
nice.
I would say there were around about 10 shows with more than one part. And one show, it was called The Arrangement. It was with Hayley Lorelei. What's her name? Lorelei? Lorelei?
Thanks, Lorelai.
Yeah. She was the lead in it, and the female lead was, oh, I don't know what his name was. The Arrangement. It got four parts.
Wow. I really liked his nerd on there.
Yeah.
That was
That's
one that I got served the ads to a lot. I think that's my demographic. Like, if I was gonna
I
like
see
for
you are
vertical, I have to
also
watch.
trapped by the ads, like the other audiences are trapped.
I am. I get. I again. I was getting served the ads before I ever did a vertical. So like, I'm the target audience. I get it.
You got our problem as the audience. Because everyone I'm asking, okay, to be honest, place one is for the Real Short marketing team, because 95% of the audience I talked to for the episodes on the podcast all got trapped by a Real Short ad on Facebook or TikTok.
I think my first one might have been Drama Box. I
Ooh.
think might have been my first
Ooh.
ad. I don't remember for sure.
Okay, so when you were first on the audience side, I have a question. How did you watch it? Did you watch it with ads to get the coins to watch it for free, or weren't you patient enough to watch all these ads and to unlock the episodes day by day, or did you only watch a few episodes until you hit the paywall and stopped, or did you get weak and got a membership?
I didn't know what the apps were a thing. So I was just like frantically searching for it on TikTok, looking for the rest of it, couldn't find it. So I just watched it up until the paywall, and then I would watch like blocks, like past the paywall that other people had illegally put onto TikTok. And I got the whole like from that. I didn't even know that they were connected to apps until I did my first one. So it was just me like finding them on TikTok. But because I know that, it makes sense. If you ever look at the comments, because I'll sometimes get like I like to repost the ads for my own on my own TikTok page because like I don't post content, but I don't know. I'm proud of what I do. And so I'll look at the comments and people will be like, where to watch this, where to find it, name of movie, where to, and even though the content is like in the ad, plenty of other people also miss it somehow. So
Yeah, it's kind of weird. And now we have the big problem that there were lately so many platforms that you don't know where to watch because there
I've
are so many new shows dropped per week.
mostly worked with a lot of the platforms that I've at least heard of before, but I know there's a ton that I haven't even heard of. Like I had one that I did just get released on Kalos TV, and that was one I was unfamiliar with until recently.
Okay, now I'm asking you, what do you think? How many platforms there are lately?
I had someone tell me a couple months ago that it was like 300. And I
No,
think
not so much. Not that
not so
much.
much. Okay, cool. So maybe 50.
No, I have already 54 on my smartphone, so no.
Wow.
So, and now you can imagine. Right at the moment, it feels like every new show drops on a new platform. And the shitty thing is, if you want to watch only this show, you have to purchase a membership or stuff like that. And a weekly membership is round about 20 euros to watch.
So we just need to find a way to kind of change the setup of it. But you don't want the plat, yeah.
You know,
Huh.
I'm sure that the smaller platforms will be reduced in the next year because they cannot survive against this whole big platforms. I think so. But you know, the shittiest thing is really for the audience at the moment, so many platforms, and I would say on each platform maybe one, two shows to you wanna watch, but you cannot purchase everywhere a membership. That doesn't work. That's too getting too expensive. And as I said, a weekly membership here in Germany, for example, is round about 20, 25 euros. That's more than a monthly Netflix.
Yeah, it's a week.
That's total creepy.
That's a puzzle. Like, because I know for a fact a lot of the platforms go for quantity. They want to put a ton of stuff out because they want to
I
try to
know.
find like a hit.
I know.
I don't know. I think.
But the quantity, you know. Let's go back to the Candy Jar of Igloo. They are not publishing so many new shows, but when they are
No.
publishing, also Drama Bus, but when they are publishing, they are always great in quality. And for me, oh, when I'm doing the recap with the ladies, we are speaking of really open honest about how many verticals we turned off. We didn't finish watching because of shitty sound, shit post-production, stuff like bad cutting or mysterious cast, stuff like that. And for example, in average, when we are watching roundabout, let's say 45 shows, 10 were shut off and didn't and not finished because, you know, the thing is, lately there were so many raping, violation, and stuff in this vertical. The first ones I watched were also a hit, you know, like Breaking the Ice and stuff like that. They weren't so full of violence and drama stuff, and they hit also. So, in my opinion, it's not needed in that huge amount.
I think, because something I will say I do enjoy, and something I like to film is like the hero trope. I like to shoot being rescued, but I do think
I
that
like
it
to
doesn't
shoot being rescued.
rescue. It's nice to be rescued. It's like a fun dynamic because like you have to show strength because you don't want to show the guy that you love that you're hurt, but you are hurt and he's trying to protect you. It's a very beautiful emotional moment that I really like. But I do think the the circumstance in which you need to be rescued doesn't always, the stakes don't always need to be so high, so violent. I think you can achieve the same thing with less.
Absolutely. And when you said you like to being rescued, don't you want to play a woman more powerful and more
I do.
self-confident?
I've gotten to do a couple like that. I would love to do more. Because my second one I ever did, Fight for Love, that one, it was like we were protecting each other. And I really liked that dynamic.
So like a team in the partnership.
Yeah, so like he physically protected me, but like my character, Delaney Monroe, was a lawyer who was trying to like prove him innocent. So like I'm protecting him from the law and from the police. And there's this, I've talked about it before, but it's this scene. It's one of my favorite we shot in the whole thing because we're going into the police station and I get this box of like evidence. And I'm like, hand it over. And I've got like my two like 6'4" tall boys behind me. And I'm like, give me the box. And then I take it from them. And I'm like talking to, and I'm like, literally every man in the room is at least 6'2". And I'm like, you'll be hearing from us. And I leave. But
So
like,
you
I got
felt
to
very
be
strong.
the powerful one in this room of men who are just like this much taller than me, all of them. And it, I think it showed a lot of emotional strength, which I really, really enjoyed. And I don't know if I've gotten to do one quite like that since. Like I've gotten to play like strong single mothers
Yeah,
and
that's
stuff like
fine.
that.
That's fine, but mostly when you see married couple, the husband is always so dominant and she is so weak, or she has so many issues and problems that she get to hooked up and pregnant to survive because then she could move in with him.
Yeah, I think we're seeing, fortunately, just from talking with other people shooting, some more and more storylines with stronger females. But there's,
Hopefully.
of course, always going to be, you know,
Yeah. The
and
Cinderella story. I know.
I think having both can be good, but I think it's good that we're seeing more and more of like this stronger, because some of my new ones coming out, I think, will represent a stronger woman in that sense.
For me, it would
With
be already fine if they are equal in the partnership, you know?
yeah,
That would be also totally fine.
I would love to see. Like honestly, I've said this quite a bit. I really want to fight somebody. I want to physically be strong, and I want to beat someone up
You
in
want to do a
vertical. I want
boxing
to.
one? Or what? A
Yes.
sportive boxing?
Something
I think, who
sporty,
was it?
boxing.
I think Nicole Maddox was it who did
Yeah,
a
her and
boxing
Luna
one?
Seranova did one on Big Lou like that.
Yeah.
Because that was shot in Kansas City. That was shot in my hometown.
Ah, okay.
They've done
Yeah, she did a boxing one. Yeah.
916, all the ones I've seen them do, all the ones I've done with them, have all had such high quality. They did Mr. Vampire Wants Me Every Day. They did My Beloved True Gentleman, my 1920s vertical. They did Swipe Right. They did that one. They did a Vampire in the Alpha's Den with Cayman Cardiff, and
Cayman did the vampire one?
he was a werewolf. And then
Ah,
I'm blanking on her name. We're good friends, and I just can't think of it right now. Aaron Orcutt was the vampire. And they did like a vampire and a werewolf. But those, a lot of those were also on Big Lou. So, I mean,
Yeah,
that
you
stands
see?
to your point that they do a lot of, they just do different. I think it's because the platform is originally based in Korea. They aren't, because a lot of the things you see, like a lot of the apps that come out with the more like traditional, which I don't know if that's a fair word to use because they're so new, vertical, I think they are Chinese for the most part. So
And
they just fit the same like mold.
I think on the other side, Candy Jar, and I think it's Miviglu, the storylines are mostly based on books.
I didn't know that about Big Lou. I knew Candy Jar because they have a like a fanfic reading app that I do have on my phone. It's with their original name, like Galatea or something, which I
Yeah,
haven't
it
read
was
a ton on it, but
Galatea.
it's nice to have on a plane.
Yeah. I recently saw that if you were visiting Candy Jar's website on the infos, it's based in Germany.
Yeah, I did know that. They have a new base now in Los Angeles as well, but
Yeah.
it's based in Germany. That one,
Yeah, and so I
my
don't
trauma
understand
is
why we aren't shooting here, actually. We have a platform, but not shooting. Hello.
well, hopefully we'll see more because then, I mean, they're shooting quite a few in Europe now with,
Yeah.
because Candy Jar, My Drama, and Drama Pops are the three that I know of that are based in Europe.
Ah, I spoke to Danny Farber, and he told me that Good Short lately shot the first one also in Istanbul with him
Oh,
as a
wow.
director. Yeah, he
I would
was
love to go back
in
to Germany.
Europe for shooting for Drama Pops. And he had kind of contract with Good Short, and Good Short said, yeah, we need you have to shoot one. And he said, yeah, listen, I'm in Europe over actually. And he offered them, do you want to shoot this one in Europe? And yeah, so he shot lately the first one. Yeah, lately it was in, I think it was October last year. He shot the first one for Good Short. In Europe also. Yeah.
Oh wow. I haven't worked with Good Short yet. I've heard a lot of wonderful, because Rob is a friend of mine and he's told me like, yeah, they're really great for me. So I hope I get to work with them soon. I haven't seen a ton of their content.
I saw a few. It was not bad, to be honest.
I think
But
they do some different stuff. I've definitely
yeah.
seen some plot lines from them that are newer. That you might have seen them in like a movie, but like new to the vertical space.
Yeah.
I just love when I get to do new stuff.
Maybe
I
you
like.
have a chance to shoot with Drama Pops in Istanbul when you shot lately for them in Lithuania. Who knows?
That would be nice. Who
Because
knows?
everyone I spoke to who shot in Istanbul was so in love with Istanbul.
I loved Lithuania. I love Lithuania so much. I hope I get to go back because it was just so
So,
beautiful.
when you think about all the different shooting locations, what were different between them in the work on a vertical?
A big thing I've noticed actually is depending on where you're shooting, you get different like wardrobe because of the weather. So then they come out at different times because the platforms like to time when you come, like when it comes out with like what season it looks like it is based on like the states. So for example, when I shot in Vietnam, I shot there in November and December, but because we were in Vietnam, it was like 90 degrees outside. So the vertical didn't come out until the spring because we were in like shorts the whole time. Same with both of the ones I did there didn't come out until the spring because it just looked warm. So they were like, and I even talked to the platform. They're like, yeah, we just want to wait until it looks warmer. And also like the wardrobe was more, it felt like more Americanized. Whereas like a lot of the ones we shoot in Los Angeles, because a lot of the platforms are Chinese, it feels like they're going based off of that specific like style. Like if you notice the styles of clothing, it's very important on set. Like actually they spend a lot of time looking at what we're wearing and making sure specifically the women are like they look stylish and they look nice and they look good. It's the vertical perfect. I've heard some costumers call it that they like you're always in perfect pajama sets and little robes and all of the things. So you're living this kind of like idealized soap opera life. So that's a big difference. And then like when I shot in Canada, we were like in sweaters the whole time because it was so cold. And that one hasn't come out yet. So I'm interested to see if they try to like base it around it being like cooler out. I don't know. That's the big thing I noticed is like the weather changes the wardrobe and that changes when it gets released.
Okay, so I have a question for you. I spoke for the podcast also to an intimacy coordinator. Are there intimacy coordinators also on Chinese sets and the other ones? Do they have that kind of, let's say, crew members like they are having over in LA?
I didn't have any intimacy coordinators in China. I've talked with some other people who also didn't. I don't know if there's many based in China. I know there's some specific companies that will fly out or consult with intimacy coordinators online, but it
Okay.
is not common to have them just in Asia in general. Like when I worked in Vietnam, the director there, actually, Mauricio, wonderful guy, he has now consulted with some intimacy coordinators and gotten some like just trying to get as much information as possible on how to make actors comfortable. But it's intimacy coordinators are so new as well in terms of the industry, because filming has been around for, gosh, feels like forever. And the first one was in like 2013, 2017. It was like pretty recent. And even then, like being certified, like truly certified as an intimacy coordinator is pretty rare as well. So like if you are certified, you get work pretty good around LA because they want like the certified intimacy coordinators on these sets because the intimacy is so intimidating. But I think that's a big reason why they don't have them there is because they've never needed them before. And I think because that's also a struggle, that was a struggle in LA. And I think the Me Too movement changed a lot of that in trying to get advocacy on sets.
Is it more comfortable if an intimacy coordinator is on set?
Yes. And it depends on sometimes intimacy coordinators do more and sometimes they do less. It just depends on who you're working with and your comfortability. So like you've seen my work. I tend to be more comfortable doing spicier scenes. And that's a personal thing. Not everyone is like that. And like sometimes you'll work with an actor who both of you want things really like planned out, very specific. Every single beat is talked through. Every noise is like, okay, here you're gonna make this sound. And then sometimes you're given like beats you need to hit. Okay, you're gonna kiss here. And then when you kiss, it's gonna move you to the bed. And then with if you and that particular actor are comfortable and familiar and comfortable with each other's boundaries, you can find like beats within the moment yourself instead of it being so planned out. But it just depends on everybody's comfortability. Because there's anywhere from 10 to 12 people watching you. So that's already uncomfortable in and of itself. And sometimes they like to put them like early on in shooting and with verticals because it's such a short
Amount
like
of
time
time.
period. Chemistry can be hard, even if like you immediately click. Comfortability, I think, is a big part of chemistry. So, like, okay, for example, me and my bad student, I shot that with Jake Lively, wonderful guy. He and I immediately like hit it off. But like our biggest intimacy scene, which is this intimacy scene on a motorcycle where we're like kissing and he puts me up on the motorcycle and kisses like thighs and things. That was our last day, which was very fortunate because it's like it was outdoors. It was the most uncomfortable situation it could have been, but we within the shooting period had gotten to know each other very well and were able to work together with the intimacy coordinator and with the director for things that we felt comfortable doing instead of just being told like what to do. So it just depends on, but it makes everything more comfortable because it's just someone there. Like even if like I'm like the actor and the actress feel more comfortable talking about it like amongst each other and then the IC is there. They're just there to because they know each person's boundaries. So like if someone suggests something that's outside of the other person's boundaries, but the other person doesn't want to say they're uncomfortable, then the IC can just be like, oh, what? That doesn't fit the scene. Like they can just, it just makes it to where you have a third party who knows how you actually feel and you don't have to rely on yourself all the time, which for me can be hard. I'm pretty good at saying no, but like if you're put in an uncomfortable situation, it can be tough. And so having someone there who like is always able to just know how I feel and my opinions on things and can just say no is so great.
Yeah, I believe that. What would be a role that would really challenge you in a vertical?
I know I've talked about I want to fight someone, but I do think something so physical like that would challenge me quite a bit.
Punch
Like
someone in the
boxing,
face.
punching. Like if I was to play a boxer, just because I work out, I think I'm a strong lady. I am I have no experience, not none. I don't have an experience with actual fighting. I've never actually fought somebody. I have like some training in like stage combat, but that's different than film. And I would definitely like, if I was gonna do something like that, I would want to take some like boxing classes, some self-defense classes. Like I would want to like train for that role because I would want to prop
Yeah.
do it justice.
And
I think of
being well prepared for that.
yes, and I would want to look the right kind of strong. Like I would want to look muscular the way I'm meant to. So I think that would be a good challenge.
Yeah, I think it's sometimes a problem. As I said, lately there were so many cooking verticals and sporty verticals. And for example, I talked to Hunter Cole. He did lately a cooking vertical, and I said, "What about your cooking skills?" And he said, "Yeah, Michaela, listen, my oven here in my apartment, there are shoes and clothes in it. I don't use it." And I said, "Can you cook?" "Yeah, I use sometimes a knife. I know how to chop, but that's it." And then he was playing a master, chef in this vertical. You see exactly. For me, I love to cook. I published a cookbook. For me, it's kind of not triggering, but annoying when you see exactly that they don't know how to use a knife properly. Or if it's a sportive ones, but there were so many football ones when you exactly see they don't know how correctly to catch a
Hold
football.
it. I think anyone can play any character, but my personal stance on like how I would handle it is I want to be comfortable and look like I know what I'm doing if I'm doing something like that.
Yeah, that's exactly what I think would be so nice. But I was told that sometimes you booked so late the role that it's not enough time to prepare so
And
good.
that's also, I think, true. Because, like, I fortunately haven't had anything like that where, like, there's a skill set that I need to know. But, like, for me, I've gotten last minute cast as a mother quite a bit, and I do not have children currently. So I went in, I know how to interact with kids in a way that looks like I care, but I don't have experience with like that maternal instinct, which I ended up finding more difficult than I thought. And I know, and I can't imagine, like, even just that kind of like emotional connection was hard. I can't imagine going in and being like, cool, you're gonna play football. And you're like, in a week? Okay, great. Love that. So I do commend all of those actors, because I know there's a lot of them who've had to be put in that situation, who just go in with confidence and are like, I'm gonna figure it out and this is gonna be great.
No. How was it shooting with a kid?
It's really wonderful. It's a different challenge and like a good challenge. Like they challenge me to like make different choices and stuff. And Single Mom by Mistake, I work with this wonderful child actor, Gordon Mudd. And he, like, throughout the course of shooting, would see Ryan Ray Vincent and I, like, we would improvise a little bit with each other. We were able to play within the space, which is great because sometimes the platforms
Are
prefer
so
you not do
strict.
that just to fit the script, which I get. But it was nice to be able to have that experience. But he saw us doing it. So then he started doing improv. So then he's testing, like, my skill, and I'm having to not break because this, like, 12-year-old kid is saying things to me that I didn't expect him to say. It's so fun, and it's a good challenge because I find it harder not to break when there's a kid
Yeah, the
around.
child actors are sometimes they look so professional. They're doing such a great
They
job,
really
and I
are.
thought, whoa, at this age, really?
Every child actor I've worked with has been so professional. It's so impressive. I couldn't have done that at their age.
Yeah, when I thought, what did you at that age? Not see seriously something like that.
No,
So
I've worked with a 7-year-old and Gordon, I believe, was 12. River and Gordon, and both of them, they were professional in different ways, because being younger, River, obviously he still wanted to play. So he'd go run around, get his energy out, and come back on set, and be ready to do his lines. And then he'd go run around and get his energy out, and then come back on set and be ready to do his stuff. And then Gordon would sit there and he'd just talk to us and ask us questions, and he'd want to run his lines. And it was just different kinds of like how they handled it. I don't know. I love working with kids. It's its own learning curve. Just because their brains work differently. They're so much more creative.
Yeah, they have more fantasy, you know. I have three godchildren at the age of 7, 10, and 14. They have so much fantasy. Holy shit. I was
Just coming up
sometimes.
with new ideas all the time. It's amazing.
You know, one of my dogs died last year in October, and the second godchild of mine came lately to me. My other dog who died was named Elvis. And he stand in front of me and said, "Listen, Auntie, Elvis is doing well." And I said, "What?" "Yeah, Elvis is doing well. I saw him." And I said, "Where did you eh? Where did you see him?" "Yeah." And he got a new, what's the English word, to watch the stars.
Telescope.
Yeah, a telescope. And he said, and he got one last year to for Christmas. And he said, "Yeah, I watched with the telescope to the stars. I saw him." And he was sitting next to Uncle Ziggy. That was one of my uncles who died a few months earlier in a car accident. He said, "They are both doing fine. They have fun together. They are watching each other. I thought I should tell you that so that you are not stressing out about him." And then he went away. And I was so, okay,
Wow.
fine. If his imagination tells him, right there somewhere in the stars, my dog is sitting on a star with my uncle, I'm fine with that. But he was so serious, you know what I mean? That it was so, I have to tell you that he's doing good. Okay, thank you for that.
So beautiful.
I love that. This fantasy, really crazy. Last question before I want to do a five question quickie with you. What's important for you on set to feel comfortable? Do you have any type of, I spoke to some actors. Some of them have the time of routines before they are going on set, special kind of music in the car, or every time they work out before they're going on set to be more refreshed or stuff like that. Hunter Cole, for example, told me that he has this sugar candies he always needs on set, then he's fine. So what's your feeling comfortable move for a shooting day?
I go get a coffee on my drive on my way to set. Every day on my way to set. And I like to sit in the makeup chair with it, and then I put on a playlist. For a while, they were just like kind of basic, just playlists of any music. And then lately, after I saw that Luna Saranova, she's a friend of mine, we work together in Kansas City, she makes playlists based off of like the characters in her shows. And I was like, I want to try that. So I started doing that, and I really, it helps me get in to like the
In the
right headspace.
mood.
So I put that on. So I have like specific playlists labeled different titles and stuff now. But something I've recently noticed and I figured out is that for some reason, every show that I do, I have a different coffee order. And I usually stick to that same coffee order for the whole production. And I
Okay.
don't know why, but it's like whatever I crave. So like Mr. Vampire, I always had a vanilla sweet cream cold brew. It was like every day from Starbucks.
Okay, okay.
And then when I was on My Beloved True Gentleman, I had a iced cinnamon roll latte when I was on, and it was like every day with oat milk specifically. And then me and my bad student was just a plain hot oat milk latte every day.
Okay.
It changes, and I don't know why, and I don't do it on purpose, but it's just like I guess it's usually like whatever I have the first day. And then it's like, okay, this is what's gonna put me in the headspace, I think, is what it turns into. Cause and then I like crave it. And I'm like, ah, yes, this is what I want.
Yeah, but that's good. I think a bit of regular and moody for to getting the day. You know, I think when you, let's say you have 7 shooting days, Is it easy for you when you get home to switch out of the character and be the private
For
one,
me
or?
personally, it is. Because I think I had like theater training and background.
Okay.
You're taught to flip in and out pretty quick because you run the shows for so long with theater. So like I don't personally like go method or go into the character. Like I like to take emotions that I have and just kind of shift them in the scene. So like something I like to do is I like to really bond with whoever my co-star is and become really good friends with them. And then that and like friendship chemistry for me, I can in the scene shift that into like the kind of chemistry it needs to be.
Okay, that's good. That's fine.
But I know some people struggle to like,
Yeah,
it's
they
hard.
cannot get out of the role for this whole week, for example.
Yeah, and I could totally see that happening because it's so intense. I actually have the opposite problem is like I have to work really hard to find the character for day one because when I was doing them early on, it was almost like I couldn't find her or whoever she was until like day two or three, until I
Okay.
like already had a day of shooting. And I think it's because I'm used to having like rehearsals before we perform, you know, but with filming, you don't get that. You're already performing. So like I almost have the opposite problem of like finding who the character is. So that's kind of been my journey lately, is trying to find the character before I get on set.
Are you successful?
I think so. I think I don't know. I haven't had an issue with it, like feeling like the scenes aren't the same person in a long time. I still do feel like in my head, I'm like, okay, so this is who the character is. And then after the first day, I don't have to remind myself. Like
Okay.
Haley, she was really geeky and really nerdy, and me and my bad student. And so, like on the first day, be like, okay, so like maybe I adjust my glasses here or something. I had to think about those things. And then by like day three or four, I'm not thinking about them anymore. It's just
Yes.
tics of the character.
So you got the costume and the character. You put on your character lately.
Yes, and then I take it off at the end of the day, and I go home.
That's good. That you can do it, because I spoke to so many told me lately, yeah, sometimes I cannot fall to sleep because I'm thinking about the character and the new lines I learned for the next day, and so they keep them running day and night, so.
I can totally see how that would be difficult. 'Cause I, yeah, again, I've had the opposite problem of like trying to find it. And at the end of the day, I have a hard time remembering to even eat dinner because I'm usually so tired on the shoot day that I go home and I'm like, I get sleep. And I'm like, I need to eat something first.
Yeah, I think it help. Doesn't it help when you come home and there's your husband and the cat, and it's so different to the stress on set, and maybe you can sit down and yeah, thank you. Oh, you made some, can your husband cook? Did you get your,
Yes.
oh, that's great. So you can come home, sit on the table. Oh, thanks for dinner, sweetie. Huh, yeah, eating, and then totally relax and
Exactly. We put
chill.
on our show, or
Oh, that's
sometimes
good.
what's something that's kind of nice though. So my husband is also an actor, Jason Nielsen, and sometimes he'll be like on set. So
Oh.
for my one that came out recently, Me and My Bad Student, he plays the best friend of the male lead.
Okay.
So now me, him, and Jake are like all great friends, and we like to talk. And on set, him and Jake became good friends, which weirdly made everything more comfortable because, like, he knew my husband was like cool with my job,
Yes, that's
and he's
good.
like, yeah, it actually helped me a lot to meet him
But you
in
didn't
person.
talk at home about the vertical, didn't you?
We do, but like, we talk about the fun stories,
Ah, so
like,
okay,
we
not
don't talk about
about the
like
work
work.
stuff. Yeah.
It's like, oh, what's the funny thing that happened on set today?
Okay.
Oh, I did this and my shoelace and I tripped and it's something like that. Like, as we talk about the funny, fun stuff.
Okay, then it's good. Then it's good. So, on every end of the episode, I'm asking a 5-question quickie. So, I want to ask you the exactly same 5 questions. The first one is, what's your favorite dish? What do you like to eat? What puts you in a good mood with
I
food?
like a sirloin steak, rare, baked potato, and a salad with ranch.
Oh, that sounds good. That good enough that I ate before the recording, because sometimes I got told so great dishes that I'm starving, but now, no, I ate today, I'm finished with eating, so that's, yeah, steak is
That's
always
good.
good. Steak is
I love
always
steak.
nice. Do you have a comfort movie? A movie you rewatched so many times because you really loved it?
Finding Nemo.
Which type of character? Dory? What do you like?
I like Nemo. I think he's such a cutie.
Yeah,
And
that's true.
Marlin. Marlin reminds me of my dad a little bit.
No, I like Dory. I love that. Yeah, that's good.
The
Yeah, that's cute. And what music? You said you have a basic playlist. What kind of music is on this playlist? Rock music or more country or more, I don't know, classic
it's
ones?
like I listen to a lot of like early 2000s music in general, and then it like kind of wavers between like emo kind of rock and like I've also just got like some boy bands. NSYNC is my favorite band. But I listen to a little bit of everything. Like I've got some country on there.
Yeah, that's
I don't like
great.
I'm not a big rap person personally, but I've got some rap songs that I like. It's more about the song and less about the genre for me.
Are you the type of carpool karaoke singer when you're driving with your car and sing loud? And
Yes.
I love that. I love that. So, last two questions. If I would be new in this vertical space and I would come to you and say, listen, which one of your verticals I should definitely watch? What would you say?
I think I would say Fight for Love. That was the first one of mine that felt so different from the original vertical trope, and I think it shows what verticals can be.
Which platform was it? Do you know that?
That one's on Viglu.
Also on Wicklow. Okay. And last question. We spoke earlier a bit about it. What genre you want to see more on you in this vertical space in 2026? What are you hoping for?
I want to see more rom-coms. I think we have some. I think the vertical space lends to it so well. Like all the ones I've done, the fans love them. The episode breaks feel less forced. I also just like comedy. I like being able to like make fun choices on set and do fun things and be that character.
Yeah, that's as I said, I would love to see comedy ones. We had 3 years of drama in the vertical drama, so a bit more funny parts would be so great. And you know what? I want to see a Western one with the old Western, with the saloon stuff and the burlesque ladies and
I would love
stuff
that.
with horses, maybe. I don't know.
That would
In a
be so fun.
saloon and the duels and a sheriff one. That one, raping makes totally sense, because but
The
there you can
time frame.
also have a love story and
The violence would make sense. You know,
the kidnapping, the robbery.
kidnapping. The how spicy they can be sometimes, like that would make sense within the space.
Yeah, with all the burlesque stuff and
I
yeah,
would
I
love
would
to
see.
know how you feel about the spicier verticals. Some fans, I don't really like them, and some of them are prefer
Oh.
there to be less intimacy.
It depends. Lately, there were so many BDSM stuff. I saw a BDSM which was really great, but I saw also one where you see exactly no one on set had really an idea how that works in the real space, you know what I mean? And I spoke, for example, to Ryan Larson, who did also BDSM stuff, and he told me I asked him, how did you prepare for this role? And he said, "Yeah, I can tell you. I spoke to a Domina. I did watch a lot of YouTube videos. I went to different clubs to see and ask them what they are doing." So he really, as you said, prepared for this role. And then you see in the vertical one that he really was good prepared to make it authentic looking in this one. And some of them were so. The male one was so dominant, and then it was more like, oh really, you cannot hurt her so much. It was not attractive to watch. And lately I spoke with my review ladies, a new show dropped on Tall Flicks. It was totally shocking because after the first 10 seconds you saw the boobs and everything of one of the actors.
Oh, there was nudity in the vertical.
Absolutely. And that for me is crossing a line in the verticals.
Personally, I would not be comfortable doing full nudity for a vertical. I'm comfortable with partial nudity. Personally, I'm comfortable showing a good amount of my glutes, my butt, my back, but I think full frontal for
It
a
was
vertical,
from frontal. It
especially
was frontal. It was totally frontal.
because I think
And it was a hard sex scene also.
that's tough. Because I think it's tough to do well. It's tough to make everybody comfortable for something like that. That's just, I don't know. I like to ask about that kind of stuff because I'm personally comfortable with intimacy, but keeping in mind what the viewers
You
like
know,
watching is
sometimes,
nice.
to be honest, sometimes some intimacy scenes are really nice, but sometimes they can be triggering.
That is something I fight against, is I want it always to feel consensual and romantic because these are romance novels brought to
Yes,
life.
exactly.
Like Jake Lyman and
And
I talked about it on a different interview we did, but we actually in Bad Student worked really hard to make all of those intimacy scenes look like everyone was an enthusiastic participant, that it was always very romantic and
yeah,
sweet, not like
then it's
in your
fine. But
face.
if it looks like raping and stuff like that, you know what I mean? Don't underestimate how, as I said before, there are a lot of women the target group, and all this raping and miscarriaging stuff is really triggering for a lot of women, really.
It's tough to film. I fortunately haven't had any scenes like that where the male lead is assaulting the female lead. I know there are some verticals where that is the case. Me personally, that's not something I'm comfortable doing because I want the main guy to be someone you like, you know, someone you care about. Even if they're like not necessarily a good person, you should still root for him because he's the main character, even if they're like an anti-hero kind of vibe. But even doing them just in the scenes where where you're getting attacked. Even though I know that I'm not really in that space, it's tough. It's tough. And
No,
then
and I know from a lot of women who got triggered when there are scenes where women were beaten as long as until their miscarriage and stuff like that. That's
I've done
not good.
one scene like that, and it was I It's not, it doesn't feel like it serves the story. I don't know. For me, I think something I would like to see in the vertical space, because I love verticals, I love doing them. I just would love to see a shift away from so much violence. I think some of it is still like soapy and you can have the fun slaps and stuff, but.
You know, one slapping, if it fits the story, is fine, but in some verticals, until the paywall, there were every 20 seconds someone got slapped. And
That's something I just would love to see change. I would love to see less violence.
What for me crossed lately the line, I saw the first vertical where the child humiliate and slapped the adult and was not corrected from the male or female lead, which was the mom or dad, not corrected.
They just left.
They were watching how their kid was slapping and humiliating a maid or a butler without correcting it. And it was not in one scene, it was in so many episodes. And that was for me the reason to switch to vertical off. Because for me, it's so hard to imagine that they were expecting from it. Okay, it's acting, but it's a child who plays this. And if a child in at that age I hope that was the last one I saw where the child are starting to slapping and humiliating. The harshest dialogue on this vertical came from the child.
The kids have so much dialogue in these. I haven't seen any like that where the kid is violent, but I know that they exist.
Holy moly. For me, I was totally shocked. I was so, what the heck? Now the child are slapping the adults. What's wrong now?
Well, it's good that you're turning off the verticals that have things like that because the platforms notice. They notice when people stop watching.
Yeah, and the thing
That's
is,
like part of
I'm
their
always
data.
talking open honest with my review ladies about that. You know, for my opinion, sometimes there is too much sugar coating. You don't get a lot of reviews where the people are not. I know from a lot of reviewers that they are only reviewing if it's, let's say they have a scala from 1 till 5. If the vertical is more than 3 stars, they are reviewing it, otherwise not. And for me, in my opinion, it's needed that we also give a kind of feedback of the stuff we didn't like and why we didn't like. Otherwise, there won't be a change or improvement.
Yeah, I think the more you make commentary on the content that is inappropriate, is hard to watch, is triggering, I think that's better. And I think so, like at Verticon, that was something Eric Guillemette talked about, was like, shut it off if you don't like watching it, because the platforms, they notice, they look for those clicks, they look for people watching those scenes, like even if your favorite star's in it, even if your favorite actor is in
Yeah.
it,
A great cast cannot make a shitty story good. Sorry. That is.
it like you like yeah, a big thing for me. Unfortunately, I haven't had too many where it was really violent towards my character, unnecessary, like but the ones where I have, it just feels like we're just beating down this female lead who's supposed to be like telling your story.
Yeah.
And I would love to see more storylines where it's more about the romance and less
Yes.
about the violence.
Yeah, and lately, last year, the violence took over in the verticals.
Really?
Yeah. The first verticals I watched, as I said, Breaking the Ice or all the other stuff, there is half of the violence than lately in the verticals. And the shows worked as well, you know? And as I said, that's why I think we need totally fresh storylines. And look at the verticals of Drama Pops. There are less violence than elsewhere. And they
Yeah.
work, you know? You cannot, someone cannot tell me, yeah, but it's a story that's the wish of the audience. No, it's not. There are enough smaller platforms who show that it's possible to work with less violence and more good storylines. But I think the problem is actually that not much platforms are willing to take a risk for new storylines. So I have a commitment with Kirby Elwood and Robert Palmer Watkins and Danny Farber and a lot of other actors that I will win the lottery here in Europe. Around about 100 million, and that I will fly you all over, and we will do a 6-part criminal series vertical here in Europe, in Lithuania, Italy, Turkey, Germany, Scotland, and France.
That sounds amazing.
You're in?
I'm in. You got
Okay.
me.
Yeah, so that was the part I said, listen, some criminal cases, mysteries, storylines where the audience can say, oh, I don't know, I think he was him or it was him. You know, like the CSI storylines. That would fit so well with the audience. And if it's done as a part one, two, three, four, six, with total different locations, but the two leads, the detective leads, were always the same. I'm sure that it will work. I'm sure. So we still need
I
the
think
money.
it's
I'm working on it, but
we're getting there.
with 100 million, it should be possible to do that.
Oh
And
yeah.
Kirby demanded, she wants a female lead. Robert demanded the male lead. Okay, I'm fine with that. And Kirby demanded, we have to go in every country for 3 weeks. 1 week shooting, 3 4 days preparations, and the rest vacations, and then we can move on. So that all the
That would be a
actors
nice.
have to stay 6 months over in Europe, and then we can do all the six verticals.
That would be
That's
nice.
a theory.
That's a good theory. I think we could make it work.
I'm sure I spoke to so many, and they are all craving for more criminal or more other fantasy stuff. As you said, like Merwade one, like Elves one, like kind of Lord of the Rings storylines, you know, something like
Yeah.
that. Yeah. Something like that would hit so hard, I can tell you.
I would love to be a murder mystery detective. I wanna solve crimes. I think that'd be
Yeah, I
fun.
spoke yesterday to Marcus Curtis. He told me he wants to be a murderer. You need a murderer? Yeah, always. Okay, I want to be a murderer.
Want to be a murderer. Yeah. I think it'd be fun to be a murderer.
Have you ever played a villain one? Or were you
No.
always the
I did
lovey-dovey
my
one?
first one. I was a mean stepsister, but I was a day player. I was in the first episode, and that was it. I've never gotten to
Oh.
play like a true villain. And I think I just look too nice. I think they think I look too nice. I've been told I look too nice.
Yeah,
And
but come on, Molly Anderson is also blonde and looks really nice, and she is great in both.
I used to, when I did theater, I played a lot of villains. I played the evil stepmother in Cinderella. Like, I got to do fun stuff.
I
I would love
played in
to play a villain.
kindergarten the Bad Witch in Sleeping Beauty. At the age of 3, I played the Bad Witch in Sleeping Beauty in kindergarten.
I
Because
bet
of
you
my
killed.
black hairs, you know, I was always the witchy one. It's fine. No, so, okay, so you need a villain role. Cayman wants also to play a villain. He said he's done with the lovey-dovey nice guy, but he played lately a villain, I saw.
They've been doing more like anti-heroes where like the main character is like a bad person. They're kind
Yeah.
of villainy, but you root for them. I think that would be fun. Like if you've seen You on Netflix, where the main guy is like stalking the female lead and he ends up like, spoiler alert, but he ends up killing her. Like I think
Like
that would be a fun
psychopathic,
trope. Yeah.
psycho
Where
thriller
like he's in
style.
love with her. He's obsessed with her so much so.
Do you know the
Yeah.
book The Perfume?
No.
You have to read that. If you like that, you have to read that book because there is kind of psychopath who loves the scent of the women and murders
See, I
because
think that would be a fun, like a or like a dark romance, something where the main guy is like not a CEO.
no. I don't always need the CEO billionaire hot stuff. You know, all the criminal cases will be fine without them.
I think it's fun to have the original vertical stuff, and I think it'll be fun to have different stuff. That's like my conclusion. It's like I like to do both, but
Yeah.
I think I could do with less violence overall.
Yeah, and also, even if we do a criminal case, you know, and if there's someone got murdered, it's fine. Because in that sense, it makes sense. But the murderer is not needed over 40 episodes to murder every time. Or you see all the
Yes.
murdering situation. It would be enough. Maybe you'll find a dead person lying in the forest or whatever. and you have to solve the case, how this person got murdered or stuff like that.
That'd be so fun.
Okay, I see. I will win this lottery. I'll try
We
to.
will. We're gonna win the lottery in 2026.
Yeah, and then Adam Chisner was asking 3 times, is the lot was the lottery got good to ask? Yeah, because he wants to join also. As a fun part, I said, what will you do? And must be there is always a funny part needed. Okay, true.
Yeah,
Yeah,
you
he's
always need the
also
comedic
in.
relief.
Yeah, he told me. And so he's asking from time to time, what does the lottery god say? And I said, nothing till now. When I will send you, I told everyone, when I will send you 2 emojis, the detective emoji and the money back, you know exactly what happened,
You
okay?
know what that means.
Yeah, that's a sign.
Okay.
When you got from me the detective one and the money back, you have to get ready for the criminal case in Europe.
Yes.
Okay, and then we will meet personally, for sure.
Yes, for sure.
Thank you so much for your time. It was a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you for having me. I had such a lovely time.
And I wish you nice roles. And see you as a. Yeah, you can think about being a murderer, being a million one. And then let's hit Europe with criminal cases and make a. Kirby and I called it the $1 million idea. Then
A
we get
$1 million
all
idea.
rich. Then we get
I'm
all rich.
wishing lottery wins on you in the new year.
That would be so nice. That would be so nice. Oh, I have to go to bed. I once was in a TV show where I won money. So I
Oh,
have to be.
really? That's fun. What TV show?
A quiz show.
What quiz show?
I was in a few quiz shows. I won more than once money in a TV
I've never heard about
I also
this.
was invited to some cook shows where I cooked for 2 star chefs and won prize money.
I'm just in shock. You're like the coolest person ever.
I'm a mystery person.
You are a mystery
No,
person.
to be honest, the first TV show I ever did was a cook show. And I had a brain surgery a few years ago. And before that brain surgery, I don't even know how to cook. And after that brain surgery, typical vertical trope, memory losses, cheated from my blah, starting again from the scratch, blah, blah. And then I developed that I like to cook and it doesn't taste so bad. Let's say it that way. And then there was in Germany one TV show where you saw 15 minutes before the show starts some ingredients, and then you have to do a three-part meal out of it in 40 minutes. And then there came a 2-star chef and costed blind one. It was you and one other, and you were in a duel. And then he tried without knowing which was from who. And the person with the more points won. First 1,000 euro, in the second round 2,000 euro, then 4,000 euro, and then 10,000 euro.
So
And
cool.
from the first money prize I've ever won in a TV cooking show, I bought my older dog.
Oh,
Still alive.
that's
So
so
my.
sweet.
And then I was invited to a quiz show. It was different type of questions. It was it was not all about knowledge. It was also some logical things you have to solve, like puzzles in a short time, or like number operations and stuff like that. So a lot with logical thinking and stuff. And my the good part was after my brain surgery, I had to drain my brain from the scratch again and did a lot of this exercises. You know, you had a lot of letters and you have to build words out of them and stuff like that. Yeah, and then I won 40,000 euros in that show. But at this time I was divorcing my husband, so I paid the divorce out of the money.
That makes sense.
And because I moved out, I needed some furniture and stuff like that for the new apartment. But that was the money at the right time, because otherwise I would not
Yeah.
pay for the divorcing and stuff like that. Yeah. And
Sounds like
then
money at the perfect time.
at the third quiz show where I won money, I think there was the same show in the US. In the US, it was called the ABC Show. And
Okay.
here in Germany, it was a show where you played all the ABC and you have to every letter different type of cases you have to solve with the letters and stuff like that. It's more about a logical combination of words and knowledge and stuff like that. And there I won 5,000 euros. And I'm now living in a house with 1,000 square feet gardens. I bought a chicken coop and six chickens. Out of that money, they are living now in my garden.
Oh, that's
Yes.
so wonderful.
But that's not. But here is also a quiz show where you can 1 million euros. Maybe I should try there.
You should try for that one.
That we can
Sounds like
shoot
you
a.
have some good luck.
That we can shoot a pilot one. You know, the first episode.
Exactly.
Or the European lottery jackpot, that would be nearly 70 till 100 million, that the problem would be solved in one case.
Yeah.
I'm trying. 2026 is not old, so we will see.
Here.
I'll keep you updated. As I said, the detective one and the money back. When
Yes.
I'm doing a group chat with Robert and all you in it and just these two
like, oh, okay.
emojis.
I know what this means.
Yeah, everyone has to be excited, and then the show starts. We will see. Have a nice and good and successful 2026. And thanks again for your time. It was lovely talking to you. And I say thank you and bye.
Thank you. Bye.
This is a wrap on this episode, and I hope you tune in again.